I've always had this thought, a jingle podcast is necessary. All the littles would pat my back and say, man, that's an awesome show, Jerry. Now it's time to come back, for how long I won't guarantee. But we're gonna do it together, you and me, well, mostly me. You and me, well, mostly me, are gonna record the Grelly. You and me, well, of course it's me, my name is Jerry Negrelli.
And now it's time for the Grelly with your host, Jerry Negrelli.
Give people a second to get their tape recorders ready.
Jerry Negrelli.
Bold Jerry.
That is Jerry Negrelli
who started it all in terms of jingles.
One, it is bad. And two, it is done with total confidence.
That's right. The Grelli is back. I'm your host, Jerry Negrelli. Thank you for joining me. Those of you that have stuck around with me through the podcast, through the false start of the previous season, I hope that you enjoy one new podcast every 10 months, because that's my guarantee. but seriously, I had tried to relaunch this podcast last year, got a couple episodes in, life kind of got in the way and made things more complicated. And also my own insistence on trying to give you a quality show. I no longer have that requirement. So I've decided that if it's even like a columnette, a 5-minute episode, I'll try to get something out to you on a semi-regular basis to help just keep the conversation going. One of the pieces of feedback I got at Jingle Fest 5, Jingle Side, I hope you were there, was that my own kind of proactive creation of this podcast and all this material helps keep the energy flowing and inspires folks to contribute stuff and also keeps the audience engaged and excited to try to listen to more things. So on that note, if you have not been to littlesongs.net recently, please check it out. There's been a lot of new energy there in the last few weeks from folks that have contributed their very first song or second song. Please go leave a comment. Let them know what you think about that stuff. That website is the beacon for all this stuff. So the podcast and the events and everything else is all secondary. The website is really what I'm trying to get out there, because the goal of that and what I've been doing this whole time is really to try to keep these songs and this whole concept going. Now, having said that, this podcast, because the material is kind of few and far between and is sporadic and you have folks coming on and off, is going to be more me-centric. And that's not out of some major ego boost or anything, but I have more control over the material that I create. And so I can try to, do that on a semi-regular basis. And then as others contribute exciting new material, I'll feature that here periodically as well. I really am always so excited to hear a new voice, new talent, get something else new in there. All right, so on to orders of business. Today, in this initial return to podcasting, I wanted to talk about just a couple of things. First, I wanted to share a little bit about my thoughts about Jingle Side and that whole experience and give you some behind-the-scenes stuff there in case that interests you. I assume it does if you're listening to this show. And then talk about what comes next and kind of why I'm thinking of doing that. And as time allows, I'll talk about that, or maybe we'll hold that for episode number 2, which is basically going to be a highlight show of this episode. I mean, I can't expect me to churn out new material every week, so I'll play all the best clips from today and we can just revisit that next week. But anyway, so Jingle Fest 5, Jingle Side, usually I have horror stories to share with you about some major obstacle I had to overcome, some stupidity I had to deal with the venue. The only tangentially related thing this time around was the Hamilton, which previously had quoted me like $15,000 or something insane to host Jingle Fest 3. Their former production manager now runs everything at Jam and Java. And so he was awesome. Total pro. There was not a single issue to report. I got there early. We were done an hour and a half before the show, and he left because we had nothing left to test. So it was just, it was perfect. It couldn't have gone better. So I was just sitting in the green room by myself waiting for everybody to show up. And you know, everybody got there like 10 minutes before showtime and things were ready to go. Unlike last year where I think we started a half hour, 45 minutes late because things were such a mess. But the whole show, I usually put this together in February and March and then spend like 3 months sweating it out, rehearsing and preparing the material. And everybody else kind of has their own pace, but usually we have the whole show kind of figured out by June 1st and at the latest. But this time around, I think that Sean Morrissey and Brad Weiss were the only two that really knew what they wanted to do early. KJ had a pretty good sense as well, but I was trying to get her to do additional sets and additional material because everybody really likes to hear KJ, but she really just wanted to have a chance to socialize and see people, which is, you know, an oft-neglected thing with me running the show. I don't spend enough time doing that. I tried to do that a little bit more this year, but... you know, she said she wanted to do two sets maximum because she really wanted to be with the littles and everybody that came to see the show and get a chance to meet people and socialize. And then the rest of us, it really came down to the wire. I, as late as the Saturday before Jingle Fest, so 7 days out, 6 days out, I was rehearsing two alternate sets that you didn't hear. And I hated them. After I was done, I said, oh my God, that is just absolute crap. I got to start over again. And went back and threw in some new material and some greatest hits there. I added some new verses to Abraham Martin and John, the Dennis, Tony and John song there with Booger. And had a lot of fun doing that and did some switch-ups on some of my old material. And one of the songs originally I thought to start the show, I could repurpose this old song I'd used in a previous podcast that I'll play for you here. In the beginning, I spent one really long night writing some lyrics and getting the vocals just right. I was ecstatic to hear my song on the show, and how I lost that damn contest, I still don't know. Raju's an asshole. Liz loves the boss. Tony's old. Edith's a lizard. How are these jingles still a thing? It's been a long time. Sharing 2,000 songs. So I thought that that could be a fun way to introduce the show. But I also thought maybe that was kind of a downer. It's such a slow song. It's kind of like self-deprecating, but also a little bit whiny about not winning a ticket contest. Is this really how I want to kick things off? And so I went back to the drawing board and said, all right, what alternate material could we do here? And the hottest song, as you probably know right now, is Old Town Road. And my kids have been singing that a lot in the house. And oh, maybe we could do something with that, but I don't know what it could be. And then it just kind of popped in my head, oh, old folks home. You know, that would be kind of a funny idea. And so I thought, who is the best to help me, you know, do some of the rap there? And that would be Luke Overby. And then if he's involved, who else can add some stupidity and other randomness to help add to the overall fun, silly vibe of this. And so Rob and Jason were logical add-ons. And then Steve, of course, would really add the performance aspect to really just take this up to 11 in terms of the overall zaniness and silliness. So I emailed those guys and said, hey, I want to write a parody to Old Town Road. Here's kind of my rough idea of it. Why don't you each take a verse and we'll put this together? So over the course of a few days, because we were running out of time, we were able to put together some lyrics here. We had some compromises on some of the verses and bridges and those pieces, and I think it turned out really well. So I hope that in the next few weeks I can share the like final produced version. But here, this is the demo that I sent to everybody to use as a guide vocal to help us all put this together. And then as we prep for the performance, ultimately my kids heard me preparing, and then they insisted that they be part of the opening number there. And hopefully that turned out okay. I think that it was a real joy for them, and they really hammed it up in some of these opening lines here. But here is the ultimate, what ultimately became the introduction to Jingleside, Old Folks Home. Yeah, I'm gonna take my dad to the old folks' home, and then I'll laugh and leave him all alone. Gonna take my dad to the old folks' home, and then I'll plan to spend all his dough.
Dad is not that bad, bridging bingo back to back. Canasta with my Lanta, but golf is in the past. Yeah, need to rant and curse, don't call me, call the nurse. The good news is that it really can get worse now. Think of it just like camping with 100 grandpas. Think of it just like camping with 100 grandpas.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my dad to the old folks home. I'm gonna laugh and leave him all alone. Gonna take my dad to the old folks home, and then I plan to spend all his dough.
You're buying homes with straight cash, spending like a rock star, giving lots of ammo for my bad dad memoir. Making bad decisions like buying dying sports bars. I could've used that money for a beach house or a sports car. You're staying in the game, you're a fool old man, and just last year signed a new contract. Wish I could drop you off at that old folks home. Let's take a ride, I can't take no more.
I'm gonna take my dad to the old folks home. I'm gonna laugh and leave him all alone. Gonna take my dad to the old folks home, and then I plan to spend all his dough.
One of the things that I typically do, and this is really to my own detriment because it's a one-time thing and nobody can really appreciate it except in that moment, is try to add new material to the Jingle Fest shows. To me, I've heard these songs hundreds of times, as I've laughed about before. I am my own best fan. So if I record a song, I listen to it as a critic for a while, and then I listen to it just to enjoy it because I find these things hilarious. And, you know, who better to write stuff that I would like than me? Anyway, this stuff, though, that we do for the show is usually just heard once and that's it. Like there was that Monkey Start song last year and things that are just kind of one-offs. Or this year I added some new lyrics to Wilbon Was Right, the Billy Joel parody to You May Be Right. So I wanted to have a new song, though. And for the very first Jingle Fest, I did this with Wilbon's World. And that's become one of the biggest jingles ever. And it was only because I wanted to have a new duet, just that need, like, we must do something new. But when we performed it at Kilroy's, it totally bombed. I mean, nobody knew what we were singing about. They didn't recognize the song. So it had no real impact. But then when it was on Tony's show, then it really, you know, kind of got into the zeitgeist of jingle verse and stuff. So anyway, I had this idea. So I was trying to think through how can I make fun of Tony passing the torch to Michael, because the concept to me, while I held nothing against anybody involved here, just, you know, so we're clear, is kind of ridiculous that you know, he would just be passing the torch on for the podcast empire or whatever. So I wanted to just kind of poke a little jab at that because I think it's kind of funny. And I also was thinking of ways to do something different and new. And so that idea of let's get the kids involved and something new led to, hey, why don't I get my own kids involved? With the joke being that I am trying to now pass on Little Songs and TK Jingles to a 5- and 7-year-old. So the girls were way into it. I tried to find a song that they love to sing all the time. And so I'm going to play you a brief demo of our rehearsals here. And not going to play the whole thing, just a little bit of what we were going through. And it was so much fun, just on a personal level, to see their enthusiasm and excitement to perform for the first time in front of a crowd and do this, to be part of this show. So as you may know, if you listen to the podcast, Anna was like an infant in my arms when this all started. Just I would literally be helping her with her like bottle feedings or whatever when I was recording early episodes of the TK Jingles show. And now she's 5 years old and this is the music she grew up with. So to have her be a part of the performance and be involved in that was just such a cool thing for me. And so I could really understand how, you know, Tony and folks would want to pass that same, you know, kind of thing along. So anyway, here is a brief demo of that song that was meant to be a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing, but also in its own way is a little bit of a sweet tribute to my own kids as I try to get them involved as well. And, you know, we'll see how that far that goes. I don't know if they're going to take the trip to Nashville next year or whatever, but here is A Million Dreams in demo form.
There's a house just next door. No one lives there anymore. He sent them all away. A secret hope, a secret prayer. He thought his children might move there, and he'd see them every day. You can say it all sounds crazy. You can say Tony lost his mind, but he don't care if you call him crazy. Pretty soon their yards will be combined.
That isn't quite what happened though. His children laughed and told him no. A million thoughts went racing through his brain. Saw a way to keep them close, and so he quit the radio. $1 million is all that it would take. $1 million so his kids would want to stay.
All right, last little note on Jingle Fest 5 here is I usually try to have new walk-up songs, walk-up art. As I said, I want the show to have a character of its own and have some memorable moments of its own, even if you only see it one time. And so for the walk-ups this year, Steve Lipton pitched in and did all these amazing images parodying the name Jingle Side. So we had Jingle Side, like Homicide with Brad, but then we had Jingle Slide for Sean Morrissey and Jingle Glide of like a glider for Joe Arrow. Just ridiculous things that had nothing to do with performance, but kind of just had a different take on that word with somebody's face plastered on it. And Claire was performing for her very first time, and Steve put together an image for her that's a jingle ride with somebody doing a ride share, like hailing an Uber. And that popped into my head, this song I've been wanting to record for 6 months without really any rationale for why. Uber Driver, a parody of Ronnie James Dio's Holy Diver. And this still, despite all the things that I do, this is one of my favorite things I've done in the last few months. It's just so zany and stupid. And I think when I'm able to do a song where I can take on a persona or a voice that is so bizarre or not my own, then I really find a lot of pleasure in that. So here's my just a brief snippet of Claire's walk-up song, Uber Driver, from Jingle Side.
Uber driver. Now we're lost somewhere in Northwest DC. Oh, where are you taking me? Uber driver, yeah, you run red lights with alarming speed, but you brought water for me. I think I'll have a sip. Uber driver.
So that's all I wanted to say about Jingleside for now. Maybe if I record a follow-up episode here, we can talk more about that. But I just wanted to share a few thoughts while they're fresh about some of the building of the show and the set list and the process, the iterative process of honing the block of marble that is the plan is so much fun to me, and kind of thinking through paths we took, ways we could have gone. I always enjoy revisiting this. So I just wanted to share a little bit of that. Before we move on from that show. And I have more memories to share that hopefully we'll get to a later time. Now, as you probably know, if you're listening to this, Jingle Fest 6 is going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, I have a few options of venues in mind, but I'm not sure where it's going to be yet because it really will depend on the Kickstarter and the RSVP list. I want to know who's coming. I hope that if you've been to shows before, you'll come again. But I understand this is kind of a reach. This could be a bridge too far, or maybe not. You know, we'll have to find that. We'll have to find out. But as to my rationale, so a couple of things drove this. So several of the regular attendees, like Anita and others, have mentioned in the past that the draw of Jingle Fest is not Tony per se, although that's a great aspect of it. But it is the littles. It is the chance to get together with fellows who appreciate the same things you do, have common interests, and have this kind of community that we're all a part of now. And they have challenged me that, you know, you really do not have to do this in DC every time. We've been here 5 years in a row. Why don't you think of something else? And that really has stuck with me that, you know, I mean, I live here, so doing it here for me and then, you know, having to go to Jam and Java again while, as I said earlier, it was perfect. You know, I want something different and new and want to be challenged and find a way to keep making this exciting and different every time. I don't want to just go through the motions and do the same thing every time. So I decided this was the year to jump in and maybe think about doing that. And then, you know, what really pushed me over the edge, and this is, as I've tried to explain on Facebook and other places, I never would want to cast any aspersions against the show or anybody else involved with it because I owe all that I'm doing right now, any of you listening to right now, to them, not to anything I've done. I mean, I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for that show. But I felt that, you know, in the week leading up to the Jingle Fest, there was some maybe negative chatter online. I don't know where it was coming from, but I directed at Tony that, hey, why aren't you coming? And at others in the show, why aren't you going to be there? And I don't like that. I never designed this. If you've been listening long enough to have followed previous discussions on this, the Jingle Fest was never meant to be a place for Tony and the gang to come hang out with us. That was kind of a fringe benefit, I guess, of Kilroy's and things that followed. But I never expected that anyone would show up except for myself and the Jinglers. And that's why I hosted this thing at Kilroy's, which is less than a mile from my house. I wanted to do something that would allow us to showcase the songs, but I also wasn't a fool thinking that there was going to be 500 people there and that I should rent out a concert venue. So I picked a rather rundown, dilapidated bar patio setting because it was free. And it would accommodate our group. And they were thrilled to have us. And I go to Kilroy's like once a week. So I love that place. And it was kind of an easy pick. But anyway, now that others, Gary and Nigel and folks have been coming for many years, folks expect them to be there. And so that was a little bit of a bother when I felt like Tony was feeling guilted into it when he had other commitments. And I mean, he legitimately had a commitment. I obviously had notified them of jingle side 11 months in advance just so this wouldn't happen. But a Hall of Fame ceremony, I totally understand that that would take priority over some fan convention. But then the podcast taping, again, with 11 months notice, I would have thought that they would have just had that in the schedule. But for whatever reason, the way the communication works and all that stuff, it wasn't part of it. And I felt, and this could be off, I admit that, just my interpretation, I felt that Tony felt like he was being guilted into doing a show. And while he may have genuinely wanted to do it to support those that were coming into town, again, the whole point of Jingle Fest is not to twist someone's arm into supporting the community. While they may want to, or they may see like, hey, this makes a lot of sense. We have people coming into town that want to be a part of this. I don't want to create that kind of feeling. So anyway, so with those three things kind of building together, I just thought, you know, let's take a shot and do something different and go to a totally different place. If folks who love the jingles really want to get together, and those that love the Littles community and all that it's become want to take that road trip to a new place and experience this, that's going to be awesome. And we've freed the show of any obligation to endorse or otherwise indulge us by attending. Now, there are some of those that are affiliated with the show that are actually excited about this option. And I had offered to sponsor their visit to the show as part of the Kickstarter, and have been told so far that I shouldn't do that because they plan to come on their own. So we'll have to see how that plays out. That would be amazing if we were able to get Gary or some others to join us there. But there's no contract, there's no obligation, there's no relationship there officially. So if they back out in last week or whatever, they can't make it, it is what it is, and I'm fine with that. But wouldn't it be cool, I mean, if they actually did make that trip too, and we have a good turnout there and we get some show support, that would just be so awesome. But, you know, on the other side of the coin, it could just be me and a few jinglers that make the trip, and then like three people who live in Nashville or three barflies that happen to be at that bar that night. And that's a totally real possibility. I hope that you can have faith in me that I know what I'm doing, that it's going to be another good show, regardless of where it is, even though there's a risk in doing it in a totally new place. And that if you're coming from out of town anyway, chatter is no longer there. There's no longer that local draw of a magnet thing to attend. Maybe this really is the year to go somewhere else and try something different. So check out the latest Jingle Fest Kickstarter. I would love your support. Obviously, you're under no obligation to do so. We're about halfway to our goal right now. Shilling for donations and stuff like that is always such a frustrating thing for me to do. I don't want to be putting the hat out here, but it is going to cost a little bit more to get everybody there. And the venues that I've had have been generally in the Jam and Javan area. I've got one that's a little bit cheaper, but it's also like a fourth of the size. So if we have a smaller list, I can do that. And that allows us to, you know, save costs. But hopefully we get a reasonable turnout, more than the Kilroy size, at least anyway. And I welcome your feedback. ChineseFood@littlesongs.net or at tkjingles.com still works. ChineseFood@tkjingles.com. is the mailbag of this show. Send me your feedback, send me your thoughts. And now I wanted to play some new material. So as I mentioned, chatter is no more. And some of us found that to be funny. I mean, despite the personal toll that may take on those that worked there and those that were affiliated with it on a real level, that really does suck. And I feel for those that are financially impacted, but the whole concept of chatter and the way it was run and the way we've kind of poked fun at it for the last 2 years, this was what many saw as kind of an inevitable conclusion. So I really, it sucks. Like it sucks that the place is closed. But if you remember, if you were at Jingleside or have heard some of the things that I've done on social media the last few weeks, we're laughing at death. So if we can laugh at death, if we can have a song about a man being stabbed to death by a swordfish, I would hope that we could also laugh about a failed restaurant because, I mean, come on. I mean, a guy dying or laughing at our own, all of our impending death in an old folks home. If those things are funny, then surely this failed business venture is something that we can laugh at to some extent. So here is my first kind of cut at that about Michael's reaction to Tony and his failing restaurant.
Some kids, man, they get all the breaks. Their parents earn and they scrimp and they plan and they save so their children don't have to work. But that's not for me, 'cause dad is a jerk. It's hard watching my old man spend. He bought a pony, now he's thinking of buying a jet. I'll smile and nod if I must, then put his cash in a trust. You can't buy a restaurant anytime that you want. You still have some cash, so for God's sake, save me some, Dad. One day I'll put my dad in a home. Until then I'll have to fight his estate for control. I'll lock him up if I must, after I put all of his cash in a trust. Put his cash in a trust.
So that's kind of the jokey version of the restaurant failing and wanting to preserve Tony's money. But I know many folks were really personally affected by the place closing and felt a lot of sadness for it. So I wanted to do something that was a bit more sincere and sweet and really paying homage to it. But I mean, I can't resist taking some jabs. So there's a little bit in here around the ambient noise and the fact that there was only one person ever at the podcast breakfast tapings and stuff. So here is my attempt to be sincerely nice about the place closing and give it a fitting send-off while also including my own kind of take on the whole thing.
This is the last show that we're going to do during this season, and very likely the last show we will ever do for Chatter. Chatter is closing for renovations and remodeling. Whether or not it reopens, I'm not certain at the moment. I hope it reopens. But we are probably going to move on.
Times I stop to watch the show and had to watch alone. Money pits may come and money pits may go, and before long they go away. Say, Chatter was the friends we made along the way. So long, friendship heights. All of the times I stopped to watch the show, I had to watch alone, alone.
So we're about out of time. That is it for this week's episode of The Grelly. I hope you enjoyed this and were able to enjoy some of these songs and just the overall yakking about them. I continue to find energy and joy and pleasure in doing this and getting your feedback. The Jingle Fest, to me, is always an energizing moment, and it's why I'm recording this right now. It's why the Grelly launched last summer. It's why the summer months usually are some of my most active and creative in terms of new material, because I'm so energized from having seen all of you and having done that. And that high of, wow, people actually like this. Like Tony said, when he's doing his podcast in front of a live audience, it changes the dynamic of what you're doing to get that kind of real-time feedback. So short of that, I have a Patreon, patreon.com/littlesongs. You don't have to give any money. You can just go on there, and there are polls, and there are some bonus content. Some of it's behind the paywall, so to speak, but for the most part, it's publicly available. I would love to get your feedback and reactions to things that I put up there. And if you so choose to give $1 a month or whatever to support this podcast and all the things that we're doing, that's awesome. But that is meant to be like a blog, sort of, with bonus content and other extras and materials for those that really enjoy this stuff. So check that out, bookmark that, go there periodically. I would love to hear what you think about this, as well as other things that are happening related to the Jingle Fest and Little Songs and whatever else you want to talk about. So until next time, which I hope is very soon, and I appreciate your patience and support. If you're listening to this, you had quite a long break between episodes, so hopefully we closed the gap there and filled in all the holes of what's been going on for the last 10 months. And if not, we'll try again next week and hopefully do a better job. But thank you for listening. As always, I really appreciate it. Send your feedback, ChineseFood@tkjingles.com. Thank you.
And there's no limit to what we can do, me and you. But mostly me.